Hello, you are tuning in to the 67th episode of the Audible Weed Walk. This is Nina welcoming you. It is quite amazing, surreal to sit here as if everything is normal. Truth is, my community does not even have a road left. So somehow I managed to transport my bike this morning outside my community, parked it at a neighborhood parking, and walked in the mud and muck to come to the bike to ride up to this podcast. We have no road. Windmill is broken, so no water. We are inundated by water in the entire community, with a few houses had to evacuate. Most other places in Oroville, things have sort of normalized since December 1st, when we could first see some sun after forever. Then why? Why are we experiencing this, when Oroville itself have a history of 50 plus years of soil and water conservation, restricting soil erosion, recharging water, not blocking drainage that cities often experience? Well, we'll come to that later. We have, like in 2015, got more rain than Chennai city, but Chennai records are already available. And it shows until 27 November, the city had received 1033 millimeter of rainfall. The only four other times the record showed this high was in 1918, 2005, 2015, and now in 2021. You got it right. After 1918, all other extreme events happened in this century, and the gaps between each one of them is reducing. After days, it was 1st December, I could actually see the sun, bright and sunny. As I opened the door, a golden oriole flew by. Red-vented bulbul and more skittish-natured white-browed bulbul. There was a cacophony of birds, as if they too, like me, just needed to get out, catch up grubs and bask in the sun and fly around just so. Despite the grim situation, my heart lifted by the golden light and the golden flight. We all went out to make a reconnaissance survey of the situation, walking in the mud and puddle, sometimes knee-deep. We could soon understand the issue. We, despite being on high plateau and having sandy soil, have served as a soak pit for the entire area, something that did not happen in 2015 deluge. What we are experiencing and why are exactly the same reason the earth itself is in peril. Our compartmentalized thoughts and training have made people take care of their fenced area, but with faulty constructions, raised roads, doing whatever they could do to address the problem, what they thought they are addressing the problem, but actually shifting it somewhere else. One enterprising neighboring development had actually made a channel to divert the water inside our community. All Happy reminded me of Charlie Chaplin's film, The Kid, where there's a scene where there's a clearing of the window of snow and dumping the snow in the neighborhood window. And, you know, it kind of goes back and forth, window after window. But is this all that bad, this heavy rainfall? After all, we are rain deficient area, right? Therefore, getting some extra rain seems good, isn't it? I hear this all the time. We are, after all, deficient in rain, and now we are getting more, so it's good. Really? What do you think? Is it? Take a guess. While you think, let me give you some more examples to show we are not alone here. We have heard about such extreme weather conditions every year from within India, other states. Mid-October, in this year itself, mid-October saw unusually heavy rain in some parts of India, in Kerala, heavy downpours in excess of 135%, and most of it in the span of just 3 days. Imagine the intensity. This was closely followed by Uttarakhand. Heavy rainfall had exceeded the normal by 1427% over just 7 days in October. Images from British Columbia in Canada just days back shows it is widespread. It is there, but where and to what intensity we do not know. Prediction for Kerala was off the mark. Uttarakhand prediction was quite accurate, but did it help? British Columbia, it went off the chart. What do we call it? Predictably unpredictable? Turns out it is not a wonderful thing to receive such a whole lot of rain like we have. They are destroying standing crops as well as causing other impacts such as climate triggered pestilence. This pestilence refers to bacterial and fungal infection of the plants. The same reason I absolutely recommend you not to eat green leafy veggies now. Not even those that are grown by hydroponics, that is without soil. Scientists are saying that such events are more likely to occur in the future, and this can create problem for agriculture because we won't get the right amount of rain in the right time. This is especially true for rain-fed agriculture. If you are thinking, having a background conversation right about now, whether building large dam was a good idea, think again, not so. In fact, twisting nature and landscape further is only going to put us in greater mess. There is a third need, the need for having funds and plans for rescue, relief and rehabilitation. Even in our small community, we are experiencing the need for the same. People who are not responsible directly for the impact gets affected. Of course, we all are responsible at some level. But some will say the global north, whose carbon emitting technologies gave them an edge in dictating terms over the years, affecting the rest of the world. Some certainly are not directly responsible. In our small experience, we definitely were not responsible, did nothing to block the water or to create a condition in which we got inundated. This travesty was unplanned, unbudgeted for the community as well. It is the same for the rural poor, who are most vulnerable and are likely to be disproportionately affected by such events. So rescue, relief and rehabilitation is therefore a must. India was one of the worst affected due to extreme weather events in 2020, said a report recently released by Christian Aid, an international relief and humanitarian agency. Another report by the Council of Energy, Environment and Water reported greater than 75% of India's districts, home to more than 600 million people, are in extreme climate event hotspots. They found that between 1970 and 2019, extreme weather events have increased 20 times more and more so in the recent years. Such heavy rains most always are paired with drought. Drought elsewhere, like in the western part of India or in northeastern states, which hardly ever faced drought before. And drought in the regions where the rainfall occurs. I read, and I'm quoting here, the water will flow away quickly or evaporate instead of a gradual absorption of the rain in the terrain. This means that when the dry weather comes, it can hit the crops adversely due to the dryness. Seems like a double whammy, right? The answer to these lies in the reason why our community turned into a soak pit. Yes, you guessed it right. It is a faulty, irresponsible water management by some. Just like that Charlie Chaplin film, some have transferred the problem elsewhere instead of turning the challenge into an opportunity and actually addressing it. Really? Is that even possible? turning it into an opportunity? Well, that can be a stretch sometime in some condition. But transferring the problem to someone else, which is for surely going to come back to bite, is not a solution. And simply ignoring it is not an option either. Kirit Gerardjak, originally from Holland, has been doing this work in Oroville for more than 20 years. He says it's very simply. The infrastructure and the plan has to be such that when the rain comes, it is contained by the land, by allowing more diverse vegetation. Here, I must highlight that natural vegetation is important, not necessarily forests or trees. Whatever is natural, wherever they are. What vegetation cannot soak in immediately can be held in water retention pools to be constructed that allow the water to slowly percolate and the soil to settle in, ensuring soil nutrients are not depleted, which is one of our greatest resources that we are losing in this way. What cannot contain by those pits also should safely flow into a larger check dam. Here in Oroville, they are already in place before the water runs into the ocean, leaving behind the rich soil. A no-regret strategy for climate change and food security is a must, including to include this, the scientist says. Hugh Turrell, in his report to the FAO, which is the Food and Agriculture Organization, in the context of food security, says that no-regret strategies, among other things, include adapting agricultural crops to change by screening and selecting from wild varieties and old strains, retaining and adapting their robust and desirable traits. Such screening is more efficient when the gene pool is large. Gene pool is large when we have conserved biodiversity well. When we have managed our water well through good husbandry, best practice use of rainwater, through soil moisture management, and by provision of more nutrients. In irrigated agriculture, the availability of water will dictate in the soil, availability of moisture in the water will dictate how what would be the result of the cropping effort would be, like whether it will be a good harvest or not. Of course, the need for rescue and relief cannot be ignored. All fluctuations and influences of biodiversity are so unique, important and amazing. But the most important, perhaps, is the ultimate source of our food. Food that nourishes us, that heals us also. Without biodiversity, there is no life on earth and no food at all. The fish we catch, the livestock we rear, the insects that pollinate our plants, the microbes and myceliums whose ways of communication we are only now beginning to figure out, all the different ways the soil and fungus speaking with the plants and the trees. Well, as a matter of speech, certainly a way of communication. That we must appreciate and conserve. Let's not tune in nature or just do edible weeds just because it increases our palate, provide us with the micronutrients that we need. But let's tune in back to the nature because it will make us part and witness to the most awesome drama unfolding around us. And we have just about started to understand both intuitively and through science. Let's remain in climate action. Let's support biodiversity. Let's think beyond fences. With that, I'll see you next time. Stay well and stay safe.
This is Oroville Radio, voices from the city of Dome.